It is that time again, Wednesday. What is this? This 3rd, February 3rd. I can't believe it's February already. It was about a year ago that we were starting to think, uh-oh, things might get bad.
Right about now is about they're canceling out the old Arnold Schwarzenegger's
weightlifting. They just had a real bad, they had a real bad taste in their mouth about fitness, generally speaking. Or maybe it was the virus. I don't
know. You know it's February now. Did you walk outside this morning? It is February weather.
It is chilly. Chilly.
Yes.
And did you see on Sundays, but they're calling for like zero down to like single digits. That's cold. But anyway, it is Wednesday, and for the last several months, we have been interfacing and using Lawyer Talk to interface with the Blitz. That's 99.7 with Loper and Randy and crew over there doing their morning show. And we have been taking all callers. At least they have, and then we get to pipe in remotely here from the bunker here at 511 Studio C, and we anticipate connection with them any moment, and we'll take on some calls, and then after that, we'll discuss them, maybe even answer a few other questions that have been coming in on the website, that is lawyertalkpodcast.com. So we await their arrival. And while we're doing that, you know, it's funny, I noticed... as I came in today, there was that ice buildup out in the parking lot.
It's built up. It's built up on the sidewalks on both sides. We have Brett walked in. He just sat over there in front of the bank.
Yeah, we do have a visitor here. Brett, Circle 270 Media. He's our podcast pro. So it does.
That's it. He's slip and fall. The old slip and fall.
Hold on. We have a technical difficulty. We need to get Brett piped in.
Oh, we can get Brett in there.
All right. I think we got Brett here now. I think you're armed and dangerous now. Yeah, that's studio talk. We got it armed.
So that's it. That was our. We're kind of guessing here what calls you're going to have coming in. And I said I'm guessing an accident. And Brett was like, I'm guessing ice. Ice.
Do you have to take away the ice or the snow in front of your house or your business? And what are the implications? I think that's going to come up.
You know, Ohio. I don't know if all states are like this. Ohio has a rule though. If it's a natural accumulation of ice and snow, then the business owner is not responsible. And as soon there's a point though where they start to tinker with it, they start to change it.
Isn't it to where like you're better to not touch it?
Yeah.
Like if you start, then you're liable. If it was just laying there, it's not liable. So like if you scrape your sidewalk, yet it re-ices, now it's on you.
No, if you scrape, but no, because then there's another natural accumulation.
Okay.
I guess here's the deal in Ohio. It's very difficult to win those cases, and I think the idea is that. If you go so far as to make it look safe, but it's not, now you got a problem. Or if you engage in some sort of ice cleanup, portray that it's safe, and then you screw it up somehow, maybe you got some liability. But you know, liability like that is all about negligence. It's all about, and this goes way back to common law times, man. Like if you engage in an activity and you do it negligently, that is not reasonably, or you screw it up somehow by accident or mistake or just bad something. Now it's your fault. But if you don't do anything when it comes to ice and snow, well, it's not your fault. In other words, they don't put an affirmative duty on business owners to clean up the ice and snow.
And then you get out of business and you go into what would be, you know, and I tell you what, brother, I got a call here that I got to take.
All right. But anyway, so and that makes sense because imagine if I'm a business owner and it snows at midnight and gets all icy. Is it my job then to know this, come in, get it all cleaned up because somebody might be coming in? Now, the other side would say it's foreseeable that you, foreseeability would give you some insulation there. So, you know, you don't expect visitors at midnight, but you do at 8 a.m.
Because I was thinking about the two, when you hit an animal with your car, it's an act of God. Insurance will cover that.
Yep.
I guess it's the same thing. It's like, okay, if God puts the snow on your sidewalk, you're going to sue nature?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Honestly.
And you know, the law was not meant to protect everybody. All right, so here's the Blitz. Hold on 1 second. All right, so that was the Blitz on the other line. We are all set up, tuned in. We are linked up. We got about 4 minutes, I think, before we have to go live. But, I forget where we were. We were talking sort of about the obligation of building owners to clean up the ice. So you were predicting maybe we get a question about that, Jared.
Because, you know, you got business owners, then you have homeowners, you know, and then you got homeowners associations, which I'm sure that there might be some in there that will implement a fine or a nasty letter if you don't have accomplished what they want you to accomplish.
Or vice versa. You know, I live in a condo complex, and, you know, this is the first time I've ever sort of had the experience of somebody else taking care of the snow and ice and the leaves and the junk. And I don't care. It didn't happen soon enough the other day, so I got out my salt and I salted my walk because I didn't want to fall down when I went to my car. But, man, there were some pissed off condo residents in there because it wasn't done soon enough. And they were, you know, I saw the nasty grams going out. It just is, and there's no right answer, I guess. But I suspect there we may get some of that. And then, you know, there's this idea. We were talking about acts of God, and we were talking about hitting an animal on the road. You know, insurance will cover that. But what if it happens while you were driving drunk? Or what if it happens when you were driving 100 miles an hour above the, or going 30 over the speed limit or something? Now, all right, the act of God was the animal running out, but you were also negligent because you were driving too fast to avoid the contact. And, you know, it gets far more complicated than just saying it's always this way or always that way.
Right.
As I always say, the answer in most legal question is it all depends, or yes, no, maybe.
It all depends.
Yeah,
it all depends.
And you got to stroke your beard as you're saying, yeah, it all depends.
Very thoughtful look, very deep, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it all depends on how much money you're going to pay.
I didn't read the full article, but I saw that there was somewhere, I think it was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, somewhere over there. You know, a neighbor's got in an argument while shoveling the driveways or about the snow and ice there. And one guy gets mad, goes inside, gets a gun, comes out, shoots and kills both of his neighbors, goes inside of his house, and then murder suicide.
Wow. I guess he was just waiting on the right time for to be really icy.
You know, I'm imagining that they probably was a neighbor. That this couldn't have been the first beef.
Yeah, I would
you know,
think.
But they got some argument about what you're shoveling and who you're shoveling this, and they got to go, and, you know, that's...
Well, I could see if he's got this snowblower and he's blowing it into my driveway.
Blow it over top there, fill it up, which I could see that happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah, it does. I've had calls. We've had calls on the Blitz about this. Somebody blowing their snow on, you know, you get the snowblower blowing it too far in the other guy's driveway.
I seen this. He was a plow driver, like, you know, for a county, city, whatever it was. And he had a YouTuber, his TikTok or whatever, and he's posting videos. And his whole video was him laughing about... Just
all right, Steve, we got 1 minute.
All right.
Just burying cars, right? Like, he would see him park there, ha, 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 and literally, I mean, he was just shoveling the snow to where, I mean, burying them. And then he was posting it, which then some people complained, like, oh, that's why my car was buried. The gentleman did lose his job. Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Really?
But if he hadn't been posting it, you know what I mean?
No.
Who would have known?
Yeah.
All right, so we should be any second now, and the Blitz will be linked.
Because people like to think, like right where I live, there's a handful of mailboxes that are missing, and it happens just from the plow drivers. Wow. Clip, 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 especially on Route 62.
Every year, you, sure. You see it.
Yep. You know, and that's like you got to fix it. You're not going to, the county's not going to come.
Yeah, and then come summer and fall, people start cutting trees down. They hit other people's. I mean, there's trees that fall down in your yard. Can I cut down the neighbor's tree? The limb is hanging. We get all these questions all the time, and you know the best answer is just love thy neighbor, man. Go work it out. Just talk to people.
All right, Steve Palmer, our buddy, joining us live here, and lawyer. Steve, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing great over here at 511 in the studio. How are you guys doing?
Love it, man. Steve's got a podcast you guys can check out. Just go to theblitz.com. You guys can link up with that. And we have a question straight off of text to get us into the segment today.
Yes. Hey, guys. My name is Cleon. I just bought my dream 2008 Mercedes about a month ago, and it was stolen.
Wow.
Just this past Friday.
That's
they recovered it, and after pursuit through Lebanon, the car is basically totaled, and I had no insurance on it. I've given up on the car, but is there any way I can sue the one adult and families of the four juveniles who were in the car when they got caught? Will I get any compensation from the parents or just addition to their jail time? That car was bought with hard earned money and was planned to go to trade school soon. And now everything has been set back.
Man, that'll piss you off. What do you think, Steve?
I mean, you know, obviously the lesson learned out there is get insurance, man. Make sure everybody double check. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me and say, you know, I didn't realize my insurance lapsed, or I forgot to send the check, or, you know, I didn't open my, whatever it is. Everybody right now, stop what you're doing. Make sure you have insurance, or at least put it on your calendar for today or tomorrow to check. Short of that, the answer is yes, no, maybe. You know, it all depends. In some situations, parents have liability for the conduct of their children. Generally speaking, that liability has limits. It doesn't apply to things like intentional acts, assaults, murder, you know, the sexual assaults, that kind of stuff all the time we get calls on. On negligent acts, maybe, but it's limited. It's not like you can recover everything. The other thing that you can do perhaps is make sure you appear at all the court dates. Go to the juvenile court dates. You have rights in Ohio now, constitutional rights, as it turns out, as a victim of a crime, to go get to go provide input to the prosecutor, and you might get some restitution for the loss. Now, the court ordering restitution and collecting restitution, and by the term restitution, I mean like how much money you lost. Those are two different things. You don't always get what the court orders, but at least it's something. And I would make sure your voice is heard. And then there's always victims of crime compensation. I don't do a lot of that, but you can look into that as well on the Attorney General's website probably. So, man, I feel for you. I hope it works out. But, you know, make sure we all have insurance. You need it. At least you do when you
get it. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right, we have one more text here.
Yeah, Steve, Keith wants to know. He said when he was 10 years old, his teacher threw him up against the blackboard by his throat in front of the whole class. Jeez. This was 40 years ago. He says it's taken a mental toll on him all these years. And he said the teacher did it because he laughed at the teacher, and he wanted to know if there was any legal action he could take.
Going back a couple of years on this one.
Let me think about that. No. No.
No.
No.
It's a little too long, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't see that working out. I mean, I'm not unsympathetic to it. Don't get me wrong, but... No, you know, it's things like that. There are statutes of limitation for a reason.
And how quick do you have to be on something like that, just generally speaking?
It depends on what's happening. For negligence, say a car accident, I think it's generally about 2 years. For intentional acts like this one, assault, it would be 1 year generally. Now, I urge anybody who has something like this happening, this is not legal advice about what your statute of limitations is. Please contact me or somebody qualified to give you that answer. But I guess the takeaway from this is don't let too much time tick by before you start taking action, because at some point it becomes too late.
Definitely good advice. All right, we have Ed here on line one. Ed, good morning. It's Loper and
good
Randy.
Morning.
You're on with Steve Palmer.
Steve, I was woken up by the sheriff's department telling me my brother was on the way, but previously that night I was driving my girlfriend's car and license and went off the road and was stuck. So I walked home, and they're wanting to know who was driving that car.
Well, look,
I don't have a light.
Well, look, Ed, let me do this. Why don't you give me a shout, 614-224-6142 off the air, and I can maybe help you work through your problem. But let me talk generally speaking about this. You know, we don't have any obligation as those who are being investigated for traffic violations, crimes, et cetera, to make statements to the police. They can't make us talk. You know, we still have that protection in our society. We still get to remain silent. We have that right. And it is true that anything you say can and will be used against you. So my initial advice here is anybody who is being questioned, investigated, interrogated, or even a hint of any of those things by some law enforcement, government actor, or some regulatory, anything at all, don't talk until you talk to a lawyer. You think you can talk your way out of this? You can't. You think you can explain it? You won't. You think that they won't do anything? They will. Right. And then call me, 614-224-6142, and I can give you legal advice confidentially off the air. We were happy to help. I help people through these problems all the time, and I can help you too. All right?
All right. Thank you.
And right, best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you much.
Yeah, man. Oh, you know what? Put him on hold so we can give him Steve's number off the air, okay? 821-9970, 800-821-9970. You guys can hit us up, 99700 on text message. Very last segment here with Steve Palmer. So right around the corner, man, we have Valentine's Day. People are going to be out and about. Any advice for folks that venture out for one of the first times?
Yeah, I do.
Being locked down for like a year?
I do. You know, this is like the shot out of a cannon effect. You know, you get people who probably, and this happened to me. I don't consume alcohol anymore, but, you know, you go out and you just, it feels like free all of a sudden to go out and have dinner. And I did that a few weeks ago with another couple, and it was actually most enjoyable. But I think what you're going to run into is people just saying, man, it feels good to be free. And then you start drinking, and then you start, maybe there's three or four glasses of wine instead of only one.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, you know, I haven't had anything. We haven't been out forever. Let's go enjoy it. Just be safe. You know, it's like just because things are half shut down, just because you've been cooped up, just because the COVID thing is out there, no matter what you think about it, it doesn't mean you can't get a drunk driving charge. It doesn't mean you can't get in trouble. And, you know, things like Valentine's Day, you know, it starts with love, but it ends with hate. Be careful. Don't get drunk and start arguing with your significant other. You know, make it enjoyable, make it fun, go out. Let's get the economy cooking again.
Now we have a lot of texts coming in right now. Okay. So this is, from Mary. She goes, Steve, my boyfriend and I were together for 12 years. We never got married because personally, I don't believe in that.
Mary never got married.
Well, he passed away. The truck is in his name. The finance company says, you know, you're not married. Well, I've been paying, all the payments, and how do I get it switched over to my name?
I don't know if that's even so. Here's the thing: if you're not married, you don't have co-ownership of assets, just legally speaking. So whether you believe in marriage or not, I mean, there's reasons, pros and cons, I suppose. But one thing that that happens when you get married is there's this joint ownership of property and assets, and you become a survivor of the other's estate. But here, you're not. And if there's not a will, if there's not some specific donative intent that for your boyfriend to leave that truck to you, then it might be a difficult scenario. What I would do, I'd call Jay Michael. I'd give him a shout because he does probate work, and his number is 614-443-6262. He can probably help you with that problem. And I hate to say it may not be the answer you want to hear, but at least he will know for certain.
All right, cool. One more here before we let Steve go for the day.
Okay, so this guy says, had my hands burnt pretty bad doing work in my backyard. I went to the hospital. They told me I didn't have to have a skin graft because it wasn't that bad. My right hand is so bad, it is still not healed, and it's been a year. Can I file legal action to the hospital?
Dude, that's tough.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is medical malpractice. Medical malpractice means that you have to establish that the medical care you received was less than the standard of ordinary medical care. And then generally speaking, it takes a doctor, another expert, to say that what they did to you was bad or that it fell below standards. And then you have to have damage. You have to have injury. You have to have something that resulted in making it worse for you. And all of that requires a good qualified malpractice attorney to look at it. And they often have in their Rolodex or list of contacts for the youngins out there, in their Rolodex, they will have the names of other physicians with whom they can consult to give you an answer on some of this stuff, hopefully pretty quickly. But now I don't know if there's good news or bad news here. It's been a year and that's awful, but it may be that it's not permanent. It may be that, it still can be treated and it still can be, healed up correctly. No matter what the situation is, when we're the victim of something like this, we still have a duty to go mitigate. We have a duty to go get treatment and care and make it better. We can't just sit around and make it worse or let it get worse. We have to be proactive. And that's, you know, nobody wants a screwed up hand forever anyway. So give me a shout, 614-224-6142. Probably refer you up to old Dave Goldstein upstairs in my office. He's a friend of the show and he's helped out a lot of folks here. So I'd have Dave give you a quick consultation on it. And maybe there's something there, maybe not. I hope there is for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, my lawyer could be yours, Steve Palmer. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Well, that was a good lively bunch today.
That was a good one. Those were good questions.
Rounds of questions.
No ice.
Wow. Yeah. Dang,
no ice.
Missed that one.
We did not get an ice question, but we had our own ice question.
Right.
We did.
We did.
That was a great round of questions. Wow.
Yeah, you know, I think I always had this theory that as the legal system goes, so does society and vice versa. It's like you can usually, like, the legal system tends to reflect what's going on out there in the world. And it seems to me that when we start getting real questions like this, that
things are getting real again.
We're getting better.
We're starting to.
Yeah.
And whether the government says we're getting better or not, people are sick of it.
Because you got to remember, the number of COVID questions have dropped.
Yes.
There's nothing there on that one.
There was none. And for week after week after week, it was COVID after COVID after COVID. That's all the questions. Do I have to wear a mask? Do I not have to wear a mask? Can my job do this? Can they make me get a, can they, you know, I mean, there was just unemployment. I mean, it was
COVID, COVID, COVID.
There'll probably be another wave of it. I would think with the vaccinations hitting the common man here in probably another month, because right now it's the front line, the educators.
Yeah, they're
It'll
getting,
start to hit.
Yeah, they're getting there. What's going to hit is what happens if you get sick from the old shot?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what's going to hit.
People are getting sick from the shot. Mm-hmm.
There are, and you don't see that publicized much, but it's interesting. Maybe we should do a deeper dive into this in another show, but there is a statutory immunity for vaccine companies. And what I mean, this will dovetail nicely with our malpractice question.
And that was kind of written in the billing. There was something on that. There was something whenever they sped forward with this, that they got immunity if you killed everybody.
Well, it's not just if you killed everybody. Yeah, it's not just this vaccine. It goes way back. I confess my ignorance. I didn't know this until about 2 or 3 months ago. I watched a video where we all get educated on YouTube. So I watched a video, and it was an interview with Alan Dershowitz, it was one of the Kennedys, maybe RFK Jr. And there was a moderator, and they were Kennedy had spent his legal career suing vaccine companies, sort of digging into the dirty politics of it. And it goes way back, but vaccine companies get government immunity from lawsuit. Now, just so to put this in perspective, that's not normal. They are, in other words, a private company can be, by government statute, government law, protected from lawsuits for screwing up. And, you know, I guess the policy behind it would be that, you know, we want to encourage vaccines. The policy against it is, well, we want to encourage safe vaccines. And if you're, right. I am a free market believer. I've not been shy about that, but. And I believe in lawyers. I believe in the legal system. I believe in the market. And everybody's like, oh, these damn trial lawyers suing people. But here's what it does. I mean, if you can sue a vaccine company for cutting corners and disseminating a bad vaccine, it only happened once. They won't do it twice. You know, right. It's like it'll, and you're going to say, well, how many people have to die before that? It's like, look, they're dying anyway. If they have a bad vaccine, they're dying anyway. I don't think it's good policy to protect anybody from screwing up.
And you're dealing with the human body. Every body is going to react differently to any vaccination.
Yeah.
Good example, my wife and I went through a shingles shots regimen last year at this time. Well, the second round, I was out for 24 hours with a migraine that they didn't know how to get rid of.
Yeah.
And it finally just dissipated. My wife, a week later, lost 3/4 of her left kidney. Just
wow.
Done. And we attribute it to the shingle shot.
But nobody's going to confirm that.
No, nobody is. We reported it to the CDC just for the fact that, no, that this could be a reaction to it. Just for common knowledge, we weren't in the mindset of suing them or anything like that. But it's like, wow, everybody reacts differently.
Everybody does. And this one particularly is going to – we're going to see issues, and I think we already are, on autoimmune issues or autoimmune things. So we'll have to get an expert in here. And I have one in mind because I've talked to him about this, but it creates antibodies. The vaccine is like an RNA molecule. I know I'm screwing up the science here, but it goes from your body has DNA. It makes RNA from that. Then the RNA turns it into proteins, and the proteins do things like make antibodies. And this sort of inserts an RNA component in the middle of that process, causes your body to create the protein and then the antibody. It's like and not a complete one. So you're not even getting the whole disease. I think on flu shots, they just give you like some dead strain or something. And then your body fights it and you get the antibodies. This one is, sort of inserting something that is causing like the map for your body or the instructions for your body to make the antibody. And I'm probably grossly screwing this up, but for whatever scientific reason is, there is some concern out there that it can cause an autoimmune response for those prone to have it. And in other words, you start attacking yourself because of various reasons. So, and look, I don't know. I'm not saying it's not safe. I'm not saying it is safe. I'm saying I don't know. And I'm also saying that if we don't have, if vaccine companies don't have liability, then what's to stop them from cutting the corners for financial reasons? What's it, maybe take it out of vaccine. Let's talk about cars. Remember the Pinto? And this was, you know, people were outraged over this, that auto manufacturers could have a defect, know about it, not fix it because it would cost more to fix it than to pay the lawsuits. And, you know, the one way to change all that is create liability that has no limits or just let the market go. Because if a jury knows that it takes a good chunk of money for, to get them to change something, well, they're guess what's going to happen? You know, they're going to get whacked and then it won't happen again. Sort of like spanking your kid, I guess, you know. You spank them once and they won't do it again. That's the theory. But now that's why I do believe in the free market. And I know it's more complex, and I'm sure lots of people would be happy to have a contrary position. But come on in. Let's talk about it. Be happy to bring them to the round table here. But I'm not saying don't get the vaccine. I'm no doctor. I'm not getting it. You getting it?
I'm not getting it.
No. I want to know more about it first.
Although we'll see what happens. Like I say, don't come point in time.
Any of us are eligible.
If you want to travel, you might have to have it. If you want to, you know, there's going to be some things going through. Yeah, you're right. We're not. I'm not going to be eligible for a while.
Yeah, it's not. I want to see what's going to happen.
I'm not a teacher. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor.
Older adults are getting it first, and that's going to be probably going to be the litmus test.
Well,
if these older adults who get the shot get the reactions, like, okay, whoa, something's going on.
What bothers me is there's always this presumption that it works. Like there's just this mass, it's like, oh, we got the vaccine, all is going to be good. And I'm just thinking, no, it's not. I mean, something's going to change. There'll be a new strain. There'll be something. So it's like, there's always some variables in that. And like you said, the older folks are getting it first and who knows? I mean, I know my dad's got it and he's in his 80s and you know, I don't think he's been sick. So good, worked.
He's gone through both rounds?
I think he's got both rounds in him now.
Good.
I think my mom's got both rounds in her now.
There's a recall on some where they weren't kept at the right temperature to where they have to, they're going to redose people because a lot of people got the antibody or whatever you want to call it, whatever we're calling this, the vaccine.
The vaccine.
And it was not stored in the proper cool temperatures.
And then you got the tampering going on then too.
To where now they want to come back and they got to reshoot them. I seen old Governor DeWine, he had put that out there that they will be readministering to all these people that had it wrong.
Well, it sort of begs the question, can the government make you do it? Can the government say you have to get a vaccine or else? And, you know, we kicked this around. I think we were on a text strain with the beard one night and we were looking at the old case. It was a Jacobson case. It goes way back to, I think, the Spanish flu back in whatever, that 19, whatever. And this guy, I guess, refused to get a second vaccine after the first one didn't. Something was wrong with the first one. I think that was the facts of that case. And he was charged with a crime for it. And the U.S. Supreme Court eventually held that they could charge him with that crime. I've heard other lawyers try to distinguish that from current scenarios, but I don't know. I mean, it'll be very interesting. And I know that there is a time in our country where we actually had, you had your vaccine booklet where you would travel with it and say, I've been vaccinated. But you're right, Jerry. I think the better, you know, the government has all sorts of ways to impose regulation without imposing regulation. They can say, all right, we're not regulating you. We're not telling you have to get the vaccine, but you can't get on an airplane unless you have it. You can't come back in a country if you leave unless you have it. You can't use interstate commerce and resources unless you have it, or you don't qualify for government benefits unless you get it. You know, there's ways they can do that. And all this is going to get litigated because there's, now more than ever, people are digging their heels in on these kind of issues. And I'm not saying get it. I'm not saying don't get it. I'm saying let's see what happens.
Yeah, you get a pick.
You get a pick. Like, I get a pick. I had one flu shot in last 15 years maybe. And everybody, it's like you hear these stories all the time. It's like, it's the sickest I've ever been. I never, I don't recall ever getting sicker.
I've never had a flu shot. I never had it. My mom doesn't get one. My mom doesn't really like to go to doctors, but my father gets his. I've never gotten one. My wife's never gotten one.
Yeah.
We typically get them every year, and I can count on one hand how many times that I felt crappy afterwards. And to me, in my mind, that was, okay, it's working.
Yeah, it's working.
That's yep. okay, and I move on. You know, we always do. So.
You got a little sick afterwards, but what I'm talking about is I can't relate the sickness I got directly. I don't remember how far after the vaccine. Sometime after I got the vaccine that year, I got so sick. I mean, I'm talking like 3 weeks where I literally could not. I mean, I'm not going to say I had COVID because I don't know what people are experiencing, but I mean, I did not. And it happened like that. I was driving home with the kids and picked them up at school about 3:30. By the time I was getting on 3:15, I looked over at my son and says, I said, I don't think I can make it home.
Wow.
And it was the night we had a huge snowstorm. I think the next day we had a huge snowstorm. I had to peel myself out of bed somehow and drive them to school that day. And I barely remember it. And then I think for 3 weeks later, I felt I could come to work and feel better.
Yeah.
So maybe and this is part of the reason why we're getting positive COVID tests. This is part of false positive COVID tests. And I think also part of the reason why people aren't getting it or getting symptoms from it, because they've had certain strains of the COVID virus already that may not be COVID-19, but have similar characteristics. So we have some immunity that can keep the virus at bay while we develop the complete immunity. But, you know, there's scientists smarter than I on that one. So
right. Well, yeah, for sure. I think the health department's in a hard situation because, again, we're dealing with humans. Every human's going to deal with this differently, but we're wiping this with one fell swoop of this is what to do. This is what is going to happen. And it frustrates people to no end. Okay, if I get it, what are the symptoms? Everybody has symptoms differently. Other than there's some this common strain of what I hear somebody talk about this week that they're doing this study on college students that they give them a piece of candy every day.
To see if they taste it.
Or smell it.
Yeah.
And then once, because that's the first sign. And I didn't realize that was the first sign initially, predominantly. And then boom, get them out of there. Get them away from this super spreader situation.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I think that's ingenious.
Yeah, to use candy to test it.
Yeah.
Like that's good old fashioned immunity right
Isn't
there,
it?
Man. And that's what's been stifled throughout this because I always say it's like if you just let people do what they do, they're gonna figure it out. We always have. Humans have always figured it out. And that's part of the reason why I've always sort of avoided vaccinations, because I figure I'm young and healthy. My body can fight it off, and maybe that's foolish, but I do make distinctions. I can't exactly draw a straight line, but I got TB and I got those shots and different. I mean, I'll get those. It makes sense to me because they seem to be tried and true. But when it comes to the flu and these viruses, I'm just thinking, come on. I mean, am I really going to be protected by it? And can I stop it anyway? Like, I'm young and healthy. My body can fight it. 99.999% or 95% of people are surviving this, and they're going to get sick, and it sucks. But they're fine, and that's sort of where I am on it. And I always feel like if I overcome it, I'm going to be better for it.
Yeah. Well, and it comes down to personal choices and knowing your body, rather than somebody else telling you, okay, when you're age 60, you need to start doing this, and you will do this. Because it's for the good.
I'm about to write an article on that. I'm doing these series of essays, but one of them is on statistics, because you brought up a good point. Like, you have to go see the doc and they start to do some invasive stuff to men around 40. Look, I'm not accustomed to such things. Nothing goes in, right? It all goes out. But
I heard they don't do that anymore.
Well, mine does.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't.
I've heard that
I'm 45 years old, and I haven't been to a doctor. I don't know when
I've done it once.
I don't know when I've been to a doctor.
It's not fun, luckily. It was so fun when I had it done. Three of the nurses had listened. I was still working for a local radio station, were heavy listeners of that radio station and knew a couple of the jocks. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm laying here butt naked, and these guys kind of know people I know. And it was just a weird conversation before I went out.
There's nothing more vulnerable than that.
It was, exactly. Like, at least people know me kind of before I go under, you know. Yeah.
Well, look at it this way, though. So statistically, they have just said at 40, that's when you should do it. Now, think of the bell curve on that. What they probably did is they probably had like stats on how many people they're checking for prostate cancer, right, or some prostate problems. So like they probably started to put dots on the chart of what age people were getting prostate cancer. And then from there, they said, well, the average is 40. Now, I think what makes that average, some people are probably getting prostate cancer at like 15 or 20 years old, and then others not until like 80. And then the middle is 40. So now you're getting Dr. Jellyfinger at 40 years old just because the bell curve stops right there. And that seems like, you know, statistically, I deal with this in drunk driving cases when they do something called back extrapolation. So, Jerry, they're going to tell you 4 hours later what your blood alcohol content was at the day, time of the crash. How the heck did they do that? Well, they got to fill in some variables. They got to say, all right, what did you have to drink? And you say, well, it's six Budweisers. So they know six Budweisers in the time frame and when you did it. Assume they know all of that. What they have to do is come up with something called a rate of elimination. How fast is your body getting that alcohol through your system and out so you're not impaired? And for that, they do exactly what I just said. They have taken some mass group, clustered them on a graph, taken the bell curve, and then used that rate as for everybody. And think about that for a second. It's like if you happen to be way over here at like the lower end, you're going to be, that's way off. I mean, not only way off, but like astronomically far off. And if you're way over here on the other end, same thing. So the rate of extrapolation, while they're using it as a average, man, they're doing that in a criminal system. So I was going to try a case. You know, my argument was in front of the jury was, how many people here bought a house? You can raise hands. And did you have a realtor look at the house with you? Yeah. Did you go in and see how many bathrooms there were? Yeah. How many was it, the kitchen? Yeah. Kind of cabinets there were? Yeah. Because you know the cabinets can be, some are better than others, some are worse than others. Like, why didn't you just go and just look at the whole neighborhood, take the average price of every house put together and just pay that? Who would do that? Crickets. Nobody would do it. You would never buy a house based on an average price of the neighborhood, let alone the city or the state or the country or the world. It'd be absurd. Yet on things like we're talking about, medical issues, that's what we do. Got you all thinking, didn't I?
About buying a house.
Buying a house. I'm buying a trailer. Buying a toy hauler.
That's it. Getting RV, out of town. Getting knocking out of down town. A wall. Seeing what it's worth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, that was, I think we had a productive Blitz interface. I had some other questions. We'll catch them next week as we continue our Wednesday endeavors. Lots more to come here at 5:11. We still got the comedians. You know, I was going to ask you, by the way, another show. We had the COVID show shutdown. Any chance of reinventing that? We got Jason Banks in the studio, by the way.
He just walked in. He came in.
Jason Banks.
Yeah. No, we were talking about it. I don't know what we're going to do. We want to get a show together. I mean, we've got all the equipment. So anybody out there listening that's got an area for us to come and show up. I mean, we've got the microphones. I've got the stage. I've got everything you need. We're ready to go. We just need a spot.
Yeah, we need a spot. We got the comics. We got the stage. We got the microphones. We got the will. We need a place.
There he goes. Late in the show, but here's Mr. Banks.
Very late, but it's all right. What, you talking about like a comedy show?
About a comedy show.
On stage.
Yes.
Stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that sitting down, like in a chair?
No. I mean, if people do,
that's
right?
Not,
people,
how's that stand-up? I just not, don't get it.
It's not good for me. I'm too, that's not my...
You're too animated.
Yeah, it's not. Because the people that sit down are real serious, and then they can throw in a funny joke, right? They can talk about something serious and then throw in this random joke. I can't just sit down and say the random stuff I say. I say the dumbest stuff on stage. I don't even know why people laugh, to be honest with you. It's funny to me, but I'd be like, really? Other adults think this is funny?
Do you ever say it to you? It's like, why are you guys laughing? This isn't even funny.
I want to ask them. But no, hopefully sometime soon, but no, I have nothing.
We were going to do it over at the bogey that one.
Yeah, we were set up, and then the governor came down and said they were going to close back down, and they put out the fear and...
It's got to be bigger now, though, man. I got a lot more followers.
Now he's got more followers.
Well, sorry, you got your TikTok, right? The TikTok is
taking
off.
And people are asking. They're asking what it is. So, I've been hit up twice to do shows in Columbus, but I'm like, I just can't take your show because you understand I have to overcharge you now because you're going to want to give me a little bit of money and make all the money from the crowd. And it's like, no, I want to make the money from the crowd. I'll give you a little bit of money. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the guy with a little bit of money. I'm here. Everybody's here because I threw the show.
Flip the script.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to turn down the table. Too.
So we're gonna grab something bigger. Let's
Yeah, I got some ideas.
I mean, to be honest, the funny bone works, to be honest with you. I believe, if I'm correct, I believe the way you rent it is it's so much to rent the place, but you can get that as long as they make their money back through like the alcohol. So let's say they charge you $3,000. As long as they make $3,000 that night in alcohol, you're good. You just have to pay them back anything they don't make to that amount. But it might be more than three. It might be like seven. I don't know.
Gotcha.
What they expect.
That ain't bad. Right. And if you can fill it up, then you're going to get it.
I would just rather it be open so yes. We can sit every seat instead of 100 seats. Because right now it's like almost a little over 400, I think.
Yeah.
And but right now it's like maybe 180.
And then you've got all this is like TikTok is taking off. What's your TikTok handle? Do they call it a handle?
They do. I that might be old people talk, but I'm with you. So I'm also with you. I'm also like
how
handle.
Old are you? You're like what, 20?
38.
38. All right.
So I'm just saying I call handle too, but I don't know what the younger people call
the hand,
it.
Like you did
but
you
it's
have
at
a,
Jason Banks comedy.
Did your dad have a CB radio when you were growing up?
Yeah, to listen to like truckers and police.
Yeah, we had a handle and you'd make up your name and you got to talk to him and yeah.
And then we would we would use it whenever we went to we'd go to like Kings Island or Geauga Lake and my uncles would all have one and they sit there and they just talk to each other and then randomly you hear a trucker talk to and then we'd get on and try to talk to the truckers were probably so annoyed by that. How many times kids get on there? At least back in the day.
I think they liked it.
It depends. I've heard them like it. I've heard them get annoyed.
Yeah.
Because then they got to switch, switch channel 24, which actually means channel 32.
Oh, is that why everybody goes to 24 looking for it?
That way you can't find them there.
We're like, how dumb is he?
Hey there, Rubber Ducky, this here's the bear.
Yeah, right? That's Convoy.
Yeah, that's Convoy.
And then Smokey and Marriott, 24 is 32. We don't go to 32, we go to 24.
This here's a Psychobilly Cadillac. That right there is
Sugar Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, what was your handle? Did you have a CB handle? Did your dad have one?
I was too young to remember that, man. I'm surprised you guys. Well, you guys are a little bit older than me, but I don't.
In high school, I had a CB radio. Me and my friends used to. We'd have them, and you could get them in different places, man.
That'd be fun. I mean, because how else were you communicating? Walkie talkies?
I mean, they couldn't go that far, you know.
You just drive real close.
I had my Jeep. I had that big ass antenna whipping in the back. But we didn't have any pagers or anything like that, and we'd have a certain time because depending on where you're at, you'd have like a 2 mile radius to 3 mile radius or something like that, and we'd have hot time, whichever we'd be on channel none or none, and if you were like in the area, you could join in and see where we were at.
Otherwise, it was like if you're at a party, you say, hey, just tell such and such if he gets here that we went over there.
Yep.
And then you would hope.
Yep.
Or maybe before it's like, all right, we're gonna do this at 10, and then at 11 we're going there. But then maybe you hooked up with some other people at 10. You never made it over there, and then your friends are all pissed off at you because, hey, man, I was there, and you weren't there.
Chased him for 2 days.
That's insane. Yeah. That's so insane compared to these days.
Yeah, because you could get lost then.
It's like, yeah.
Or you could hide successfully.
My dad used to write down the directions. He would send me places when I first got my license. He'd be like, I need you to go get – it would be like to get a VCR fix. Nobody does that, right? He'd send me to go get a VCR fix. I'd have to drive out of town. And just follow these directions. And I knew if I messed up once, it was over. Because you know how bad I am now.
Yeah.
We drive to the same places over and over and I need direction.
I think kids are deprived these days because of GPS. It's like calculators. They can't do simple math and they can't find anything.
Yeah.
I was trying to tell my kids, like, look, understand just like some basic stuff. North, south, east, and west. And they're like, oh, you mean 23 goes north and south? I was like, yes. Dad, is this the same 23 that goes all the way to like Circleville? Yes. And we were in Worthington.
They just thought it was different 23s.
It's like they didn't even know. So we pulled out them. Jared and I were talking about this on a trip we took. It's like, all right, so you got Route 66.
We were on 66, but it came right next to 62, which 62 goes from Niagara Falls all the way to El Paso.
Yeah.
As an entrance to Canada and entrance to Mexico.
What's 62? This 62?
Route 62, yeah.
If I get on 62 right now, I just keep going either way.
If you go left, you're going to end up in Niagara Falls. If you go right, you'll end up in El Paso.
See, I'm like his kids, man. I'm lost now.
Yeah, there you go. But now, I'm with you, man. I used to write down direct. I remember going to visit like people in Atlanta. I had a friend in college, and I was driving to Atlanta to visit. It's like you would have to pull out a map and look at the little coordinates on the map and figure out like where in the city his address is.
Well, sometimes you get a nice atlas, you can get there and then you turn the page and they'd have the cities broken down to get to there. Or if you had the AAA and you got the triptychs.
The triptych, yeah.
The triptychs were money.
They still do
them. Yeah. They still do them?
I think it's probably online, but that you can still get a triptych.
I was going to say, yeah, because you'd flip each page, and then they would open up on the back half, would have a more, you know, more of the map.
Yeah, the triptych was the best. That was the best. And I remember my dad, if you couldn't, like, it was a rite of passing. I remember my brother having to learn it, and then I had to learn it, how to fold a map. Got to be able to fold the map.
Dude, I used to have to be navigating if I was just with my dad on the map. And if I didn't figure it out, oh, man, dude, he'd get mad as hell.
Yeah.
If he had to pull over and point to where we are, well, we're here, right here. Mile marker 1, 2, 3. I don't understand what the problem is. I was like, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm 6. It's a lot for me.
If my dad has to tell you how to do something once, he told you too many times.
Oh, really? My dad repeated it, and he still does to this day. Like, he repeats everything like 4 times to me. So by like the 3rd time, I'm like, okay, I got it. It's cool. And it would be very simple. Hey, when you get to the light, turn left. You know what I mean? So when you come around the corner and you go up that hill, there's going to be that light, and that's when you're going to turn left. So up that hill, you're going to see that Walmart across the street. I'm like, turn left. I got you, bro. Let's just move to the next.
I would like his directions, though, because I need the landmarks. That's how I tell people. Well, even though I've lived out in the same area where I've lived 16 years, right? I go to my neighbors and friends' houses, and people are like, well, how do you get there? And I'm like, I know I can drive there. I've lived here 16 years, and if you go a quarter mile from my house, I forget what the name of that road is. And Shorty's always like, you don't know. And I called the wrong one. I'm like, up there, Green Chapel. And she's like, yeah, that's not Green Chapel.
Clover Valley. And there's another one I always confuse that with. It reminds me of the same right before it.
Well, the people get confused with Clover Valley because there's 2 of them.
Yeah, well, maybe that's confusing.
It is kind of confusing.
Landmarks is going to work when they change stuff, though. You're going to be like, once they sell that Burger King, you're like, I don't know. I just know how you turn right into Burger King.
It's a Rax now.
And there are people adamant about this. Some people hate it when you give them that kind of, they're like, all right, so you're going to go up to, even if you give them the street names, you would tell people, look, you're going to go to Main Street, you're going to turn left, you're going to see a Walmart there, you're going to see a Burger King there, you're going to see the Wendy's across. Listen, dude, I don't want to hear about Wendy's and Walmart. Just tell me where to turn left. I don't even care how far it is. I'll find. And then others are like, all right, so what am I going to see around there then? Am I going to see?
It's Wednesday at noon. There should be a blonde woman with a large dog.
She's always right there.
She'll be right there in the corner walking her dog. She's always there. It's noon.
I remember going to see a buddy in Rochester, up way at Caledonia, New York. And he's like, yeah, then you're going to get off the New York Thruway here and you're going to turn right. And then you're going to go ways until you see a cobblestone wall and a cornfield. And then you're going to take like your second, I think maybe 3rd left. And I'm looking, I was like, Vic, I mean, I get it, man, but I don't know. We were hopelessly lost. I remember just pulling over to a payphone back in those days. You had to pull over a payphone and say, listen, we're in Elba. Where the hell are we? Oh, you went the wrong way at the cobblestone wall. Thanks.
That Waze would have got me. Go Waze. I'd have been like, bro, I went 16 miles. I know what you meant when you said Waze, so I just kept going.
A Waze.
And then also you take cobblestone. That also threw me back a little bit because I saw a few stone walls, but I wasn't sure exactly. I stopped and knocked on their house to ask
them. Is that cobble?
Yeah.
Or is that just stone?
Right?
I'm not sure. I need the cobblestone.
So it was. I'd have been lost.
Now, what's funny is I actually wrote it down as he was saying it, and I didn't think to question it. Just like, oh, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, gave it must be known to Waze.
It must be obvious, right? So it wasn't. Anyway, we got lost. But I think I asked you what your TikTok handle was, and we got sidetracked. So it's
at Jason Banks Comedy. That's also my Instagram handle. You can follow that as well. I got like 181,000 on Instagram too. So it's still
181,000. How many followers on the old TikToker?
2 million.
Just reached
2 million. Yeah.
2 million. You must be funny.
You know, and it's, and now I'm getting messages from people. Somebody messaged me the other day. They was like, hey, because I follow 117 people. They were like, hey, you're supposed to follow back just so you know. And I went to their page like, well, yours isn't even, so I'm not the only one. you got 22 followers. You follow 518 people. Are you sitting there going through everybody right now just messaging them like, hey.
So you're supposed to follow 2 million people then.
No, actually, there's a cutoff. You can follow 10,000 people. So even if I started following people back, I get cut off at 10,000 anyway. Yeah. The problem is once I start following people back, this is why I can't do anything. Once I do it for one person, everybody wants it.
Right.
So the other day I said, everybody keeps hitting me up going, hey, man, can you wish my sister a birthday? She loves you. Can you wish my dad a birthday? He watches you all the time. So what I do is I go on there and I make a video. I thought it was funny where I said I get a lot of messages. So I'm going to let the kids wish everybody a happy birthday. And then they had a list of people. But they couldn't read, so all it was just them mumbling and stuttering, trying to figure out the names they were looking at. So there was no real name given the whole time. And then after that, people started hitting me up again. Like, oh my gosh, I just saw that. Can you wish my dad a birthday? Like, did you not just see how I didn't wish anybody a birthday and I basically made fun of the situation? I also have a cameo. So people pay me $100 to wish somebody happy birthday. So what if I all of a sudden just come on like, hey, happy birthday to Tim real quick. They're like, yo, I paid you $100 last week for Larry.
Yeah, that's a commodity.
Yeah, so...
Cameo. See, we were talking about that. I didn't even know such a thing exists.
It's, you know what, and I don't even know. I'm amazed people pay me because, to be honest, you can get a real celebrity cheaper than me. I only went up because, you know, it's a very funny story. There's a guy named Ed McCain. I'm not sure if you know who Edwin McCain is. He sings two very famous songs back in the day. One is called I'll Be, and it's like I'll Be Your Crying Shoulder. I'll Be the Biggest Fan of Your Life. And then there's And I Would Not Ask for More. This is a famous, like, he only had like two hits. But he randomly hit me up and he's like, yo, I charge $75. I see you charge $50. You need to raise that because people are going to start hitting you up for the holidays.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Ed McCain.
Yeah.
So I charge $75.
So I raised it to $100 and people still do it. And then if you go on there, you can find, it won't be the best. Like if you want like Snoop or like an ESPN guy or something, you might have to pay like $500. But you can find some random people, like maybe not the most famous person from the sitcom, but somebody else that you might know. Like, hey, that's Hilary Banks from The Fresh Prince.
I love this. This is pure supply and market forces. I mean, supply, demand, and market forces. This is awesome. This is like capitalism at its finest. So you can determine exactly what your happy birthday wish is worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You can just say, all right, you could either pick it and test it, or you can maybe even put it out for bid. I don't know if there's a way to do that on Cameo. It's like I'm gonna wish happy birthday to the highest bidder.
But I don't know if you can, but you can I can definitely do some bid and stuff.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry, Larry. Billy over here, he's at 101.50.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy is it's sad because other people, I raised mine because I put in too much work.
Let's eBay that shit, man. It's like happy birthday from Banks on eBay.
If I wake up in the morning to 10 requests, I have to put together 10 videos featuring my characters that has some type of storyline, less than 60 seconds, but it got to be funny. Where the famous people, like if it's Brad Pitt, all he got to do is basically turn on his camera and say, hey, Jess, I heard it was your birthday. Just want to wish you a real quick birthday. I'm here, wherever I'm at. Take care. And they love it. But me, I can't do that. I got to sit together, write this whole little skit, get everything. So I had to raise mine because I woke up one morning, there was 15 of them. And I was like, this takes my whole day and tomorrow.
And some of them are asking crazy things.
Crazy stuff. Edwin McCain got two, and his weren't even normal. Like one was like, could you tell my son if he doesn't study more, he's going to get anal warts? So it's like, now I have to go on there. And I know he's trying to be funny because he sees Mike, so he's trying to get this. So I got to go on there and do this. Sometimes I'll turn it down, though. Like, some people will be real specific. Like, hey, could you do something where you're like, hey, man, that's slithery. I'm like, what are you? Like, it's like, this is a weird sound. They're like, I want you to use that sound and do this. I'm like, no. Listen, basically, ask me for a birthday. Tell me it's four, and you'll get my comedy for it. I don't want you to tell me.
Yeah, then it's not your comedy. If they're telling you what to do, it's not your comedy. It's
theirs. What was it? I want you to do something for my wife's boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, I got one. Now, mind you, this could be wrong, but I had one who wanted me to do something for his wife's boyfriend, and he didn't really explain. He's a long story, but it's her boyfriend. And then another guy wanted me to let his wife know he was getting divorced, which I don't know if they're really getting divorced, but if it was, I thought it was hilarious, so I went with it. Like, and it was more of me.
Homewrecker.
Well, the thing is this,
what's up, Chelsea? Guess what?
There's always, the way I do it, I always have this easy thing where me, the normal guy, I'm just the normal one. Like, yo, that's too much. You're doing too much. Where I could take the kid and let's let him just go all in so he can be saying what he wants. And then I'm always one calming him down. So he's really going all in, just going nuts like the Derek character. And then I'm just kind of like, that's a lot. But yeah, I would love to see.
I didn't know about the divorce. I like that.
I wish I could. I wanted to send him something to say, could you record that? Like her watching that and me, or you just send it to her? Or like you should put on like the big screen, watch it like it's a movie and then let me see it. I get a lot of weird requests. I am requested, which I was going to see if Jared wanted to go if we did this, but I probably won't do this. But I was going to request people. But right now I'm requested to be at a wedding in San Antonio. And matter of fact, they didn't even put the date yet because they're waiting for me. Do you understand that? This is a couple that's getting married. And also, before I told them no to this, wanted to know if I would walk the girl down the aisle. Her father passed years ago, and she has no one to give her away. Even though she has this big... I mean, family, I am. They are in love with me. Her and her husband. They watch me all the time. Want me to first? They wanted me to perform. Now they just want me to be there as a guest. Probably take pictures and sign some stuff, but just be there.
What are they offering to pay?
They're offering to pay. Well, anything. But I know it's not going to be much because she's like, we don't have much, but we're going to fly you out and then whatever you want me to pay you. So now I feel like it's almost like they want me to be generous. But it's like, that's a lot. Now, if it was going to be some big extravagant wedding and you were flying me, my wife, and a couple other people out, and we just got to stay and party for the weekend, I feel like it's going to be a lot. I got to spend money probably Ubering back and forth. Probably going to be,
Well, it's your time. I mean, it's like it is your time.
I'm not going to go. The thing is, I feel bad because I know I have to hit this person back up.
You'd be out there in the steer field there, cattle everywhere, you know what I mean?
But you know what? It's some Mexicans, though.
Oh.
So I threw that out there because I said it's Santos. So I don't know if you see, maybe you're right. At first, I'm just thinking you're just thinking like these white people from Texas, but no, it's like I follow them now on Instagram because she messaged me so much that if like they would just had this party, she's had a baby, and like the party was huge. It looked like she had family everywhere, everyone cheering. I'm like, nobody can walk you down the aisle. Like, and you know how weird I am when all of a sudden I'm walking down the aisle and everybody just in the stands. Like, who is that?
Hey, who's this dude?
Yeah.
Well, he's got characters.
I get it.
If anybody doesn't know this. So what if you showed up and they're like, no, we want Derek to walk us down the aisle. If you were like, you know, I'm Jason, that's a character.
Yeah, we were hoping like you could just kind of maybe somehow look like a kid.
Maybe just walk on your knees.
Squat, yeah.
You know, just,
like, man.
I don't know, bro. This is, it's, I can't make that though.
Well, I mean, it's disappointing, I'm sure, to all your fans that you're not going to go walk the bride down the aisle in San Antonio, but I get it.
Now, don't get me wrong. If I was single, it could be a different story. Like if I was, but then again, if I was single, it might be a different story with everything. But if I was single and all of a sudden she hit me up and I was like, well, you know what? This is kind of crazy, right? Send me the bridesmaids. Just show me who the bridesmaids are. I want to know if they're married or not. And I want to know. No, but seriously, could you imagine if I'm at San Antonio and it was this huge wedding? And in their mind, I'm from Ohio, so like I go one here, they just might be like, oh, that's Jason. Yeah, he does TikTok. But in their mind, there's a celebrity in the building. Like I might have the time of my life. I might go upstairs with three of them. I might have to have a sign-in sheet. Like, just come down like Becca. Becca?
Who's next? Becca?
Bro, that would be amazing.
Oh, sorry, let me get some punch first.
Samantha and Joni, party of two.
You guys mind sharing some time?
Your spot is ready.
So.
Well, I mean, all that sounds like great stuff and blossoming right here at the studio. That's what's awesome about it.
Yeah. Comedians on South High, we have a guest coming in tomorrow night.
Who's that?
We'll be recording. Damon, what's...
Damon Darlin, who probably could have used your help recently. A man who also a comedian. He got some lawyers helping him out right now because he does pranks, and they're very funny. I'm not going to lie. He bought a Walmart jacket.
Oh, I saw this guy.
And he goes into Walmart, and he does stuff all the time. Like, he'll talk crazy to guests, like, because he doesn't work there. He says what he wants to say. He'll sit there. He was hitting on his one woman, and her husband came over, and he knew it was her husband the whole time. He just kept trying to get with her, and then later he acted like he didn't know. But he quit last time, and he poured milk on himself on the register and then ran out, and then it got pulled over, of course.
That's the one you showed me, the video. Yes. The cop pulled him over, and the gal's like, he's like, oh, I'm scared. And she's like, he's videoing it. You got a video, and she. But it was pretty cool how she handled it. She immediately disarmed him. She was just like, she was in on the gig and said, "Look, they just want you to pay. They just don't want you to come back."
Yeah, which I mean, I'm surprised he did that. I would never
that
have done that.
Was a little heavy.
I've
seen his pranks, and some they're good. They're
funny. They never went
but
that far.
That one, he ran. I mean, that was a little because he was he was quitting and going to Target. And he stands up and pours milk over his head while he's standing like at the checkout.
Not at the checkout, on the checkout counter. So he popped up on it like where they ring up. So because of that, they said he messed up a lot of stuff. So they charged him with vandalism and stuff. But
criminal damaging or whatever.
But it's like, I wouldn't have went that far. I mean, I think it was he's not getting enough love on his, but his normal stuff was funnier. I didn't think it was that funny you poured milk down you.
No.
That just got you in trouble. Like the other stuff. It's hilarious. Like there's this really big woman. She came up to him and she goes, "Can you help me do something?" He was like, "Only if you run with me." And he just takes off. And
right,
she just sitting there. And she's like, "I'll run," and she's running after him. But then the milk was too far.
The subtle stuff is what's funny.
He's done things like one time where he was up there and some guy that actually worked there was stalking, and he came over and was like, "No, you're on break." And he said the actual employee on break, and then he starts stalking everything all wrong. That was a good bit.
And he goes to drive-throughs and takes his own meat. I think it's so funny. He'll go through a drive-thru, he'll order a Coke, and then he'll just hand him a thing of meat and ask him to put it on a grill real quick. And he gives him more stuff. Oh, man. So...
It's no, that's good, funny. But... I agree with you, man. The milk, I looked at that, and I was like, yeah, it's probably too far. It's probably too, it's not, it wasn't that funny.
It wasn't that funny.
But like the stuff you're describing is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the subtlety of it, I suppose.
Yeah, we got to talk about that when he comes in.
So he's coming in. The show still is going on. You guys record every Thursday night on that's generally speaking, every Thursday night.
Yeah, we got a new one coming out. Just got to get it released there. The boys give their predictions for the big game, the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
Yep.
Who did I predict? Picks. Did I predict the Buccaneers?
You got the good bet that you got laying down there that I got to let everybody in on the second quarter bet. But Mahone, whenever you got a whole bet.
Oh yeah. I forgot that was a crazy prediction. But you know what? I put money on these bets. So I put random money on the bets. So we're gonna see what happens in the Super Bowl. But I do have money on tails. So it got to be tails on the flip at the beginning. Boom, tails on the flip beginning. I just won $100 off bat. Nothing big. I'm not a mudball. And I got the Buccaneers winning, going over 56. I got the fact that The Weeknd will start out his halftime show singing "Can't Feel My Face." I don't know if he's gonna do it, but it's a hope that I have. And I also win money if there's a kickoff return for a touchdown, and if the first field goal is within the 22-yard line. Those are the funnest bets to do because it's like the whole game.
Those are good ones.
Yeah,
it keeps you interested
like,
in the game.
Which team's gonna use more Gatorade? I mean,
it's not more, but it is if the winning team, which color the Gatorade will be that they pour on the coach, if it'll be a defensive player or an offensive player. Listen, they have a bet of what color the first Huggy baby will be. So when Huggies comes on with a baby, is the first baby going to be black, Asian, or white? I'm sorry why Asian was the only actual nationality. I think like black, white, or Asian. But that's a bet. That's a bet you can make.
Well, how else could you? I mean, otherwise, it's like there's no way to identify it.
Right, but I'm just saying it was color.
Color, eyes. Right, that's it. So, all right, well, let's wrap it up. But do tune in for Comedians on South High. You can find it wherever you find your podcast, just like here at Lawyer Talk. And if you have questions, you know, Jason, if your buddy has some questions, you can have him send them in to lawyertalkpodcast.com. We'll get them read on the air. We'll answer them. Anybody wants to be a guest, you know how to do it. Same thing. Just go to lawyertalkpodcast.com. And lots more to come. We're kicking around some exciting new ideas, so stay tuned. We're gonna ramp up the production value here very soon on our show and probably yours too. So anyway, this has been Lawyer Talk off the record, on the air, at least until now.